I thought for sure this morning we would have ran more of you off. I'm coming for you now. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude. It's right before Revelation. I have better hearing than Pastor Stone. Jude, it's a short book of the Bible. Does anybody know how many chapters there are without looking?
One.
There's one. Actually, there's zero. There's no chapters. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at Jude. Today, what we're going to do with Jude here is just look at it as sort of an overview of Jude. What's Jude about? And Jude is about defending the faith. The fact that there are false teachers who will come in among the saints. They will teach things that are not true. And this is a warning to watch for them. What do they look like? How do you spot them? And it teaches about what their judgment will be, how to spot for them, and we should learn from lessons of the past, and that we should do our best to live for God and trust Him to see us through. Okay? So the gospel message of Jesus Christ is the most valuable item in the world. You carry it around with you. We all think that the most valuable item in the world may be a jewel or a large bank account or some good stock options. But the most important thing in the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you get to carry it around with you. Not just in the scriptures, but also in your heart. It's a precious jewel. The Bible teaches us the parable that the kingdom of God is like a pearl, a precious pearl of great value, and that when the man found it, he went and sold all he had so that he could get that. And so it is with us. We have something that is so precious it's worth everything we have, and Christ has given it to us freely. And the truths that are held in the gospel hold keys to eternity in heaven and avoiding the wrath of God in hell. It's the key to that. It's everything we need right there in the gospel of Jesus. Yet we see that these truths are constantly being distorted and twisted. These truths are under attack. They have been since the first time they were preached until now. And they will be until the return of Christ. They are always under attack. And most of the attacks are subtle. Most of the attacks can go unnoticed. And most of the attacks can be gradual. So that over time, they become truth to everyone. Over time, people start to believe it. And over time, churches fall. Denominations falter. It begin to follow the world rather than God, seeking the praises of man rather than the praises of their Creator. And so we have to be careful that these false teachers and their heretics who preach about them, these false teachings and the heretics who preach them, are going to take many to hell. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they are a serious threat. You have to be on guard. You cannot think that you are immune from an attack. You cannot think that you have reached a point in your Christian faith that you know enough to spot it, to spot something and avoid it. You must constantly be in the scripture, studying, and seeing whether these things are true. And so we must defend the truth of the gospel and show the world the only way to avoid God's wrath, and that is Jesus Christ. So let's look here at Jude chapter 1. We're going to start off reading verses 1 through 4. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Many these days tend to be gullible. We'll do whatever it takes for some things. We're gullible whenever we see the latest fad for losing weight, and we'll jump right on it. Not waiting to see if it's a good thing or not, or waiting to see if it actually works. Let someone else, let the world jump on it and then watch and see what happens. There are those who will send, how many of you, I know it's the world of Facebook, how many of you get something in, remember the emails that would send out saying, okay, this is a nice little story, and if you send this to 10 people, all your answers today will be answered. All your prayers today will be answered. Right? And people would do that. I used to get so tired of getting 50 emails wanting me to send it on. Because apparently that was a scripture in the Bible I failed to read, that if I send on chain emails, God would answer my prayers. I read different things about how why he would answer my prayers, but oh well. And so we can be gullible to those things. We'll tune into the latest new radical teaching on the Christian channel and absorb everything said without ever checking the facts. And just be led away, led astray. After all, they wouldn't lie on the Christian channel, right? So we have to not be gullible. We must know that there are those out there that would lead us astray. There are those out there that are not following Christ and who are in it for themselves. We have to be careful. We have to be careful of the person who may be sincere, but they still don't know Christ. They may sincerely believe that they are preaching and teaching the truth, but sincerity does not equal the truth. Just because someone else believed a lie and they're really good at sincerely telling it and believing it themselves doesn't mean it's the truth. It doesn't make it true. So we have to watch out, because even those who come to you sincerely with what they have could be selling you a pack of lies. How many of you remember the old pyramid schemes? All right? There were a lot of people who sincerely believed that was good. It was okay. It was a good way to make some money. They believed it, and they went out and they found people to buy in under them so that they can make money off them, and it just continued down. And they were sincere about it, but it did not make it any less illegal, any less wrong, any less a scheme. It was still a scheme no matter how much the sincere followers thought it wasn't. And so we have to be careful and not be gullible, because heretical teaching does exist today. It's not just something that we read about in the scriptures or we read about in church history, but it is something that exists in our day and age. And how would we know? How do we know? We must know God's word. We cannot have itching ears, just wanting to hear what makes us feel good, just because we want it to be true. You must know what God's word says for yourself. 2 Timothy says that in this is everything you need to be complete, fully equipped to do the work of God. Everything you need is in here. You don't need, forgive me if you don't like this, you don't need special revelation. If this would not make you complete, then God would not have written it in 2 Timothy saying it's everything you need to be complete and to have everything you need. There's no asterisk where you go down at the bottom of the paragraph and see, except for knowing who to marry, what job to take, blah, 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 blah. God gives us plenty of wisdom in His Word to make wise decisions. And so we can follow His Word. It will make you complete. And so we as a congregation must be diligent to discern the teaching of those who come through our doors to protect us and our witness to the world. Our witness and integrity in the community can be hindered, if not destroyed, by false teaching coming from our members. So we have to protect one another from being led astray and from teaching others false things. Again, it may be very sincere, but sincerity does not make it true. And so we have to guard one another. We are a community of believers who are to take care of one another, who are to lift one another up. And so we can watch and help others not be led astray and not lead others astray. So Christina and Robbie, I want to be sitting in on a few stars services to make sure you aren't leading any kids astray. Just look at verses 14 and 15. It says, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. False teachers are ungodly, yet they are in the midst of the saints. Jesus told many parables about wolves being or goats being among the sheep, about tares being among the good pure wheat. And so there can be false converts and false teachers among the church. And so we have to be careful of that. We must know God's word. False teachers deceive the lost. The lost hears and believes the false teaching, and when it lets them down, they become bitter. And they'll turn away. If we're teaching people that their life will be great, and pastor doesn't, he says, I think just recently, if we're teaching people that when you come to Christ, he'll solve all your problems. Jesus is just one big self-help book. He'll take care of everything for you. He's your big daddy. You get saved and you just say, hey, take care of it, dad, and he'll go and take care of it all. When we're teaching that, we're not teaching the truth. Because if we're honest with the scriptures and handling it, we'll see that pain, sorrow, and misery follow the church. And it has from the time that the scriptures were closed all the way through church history, the church has been persecuted. Even today, many thousands of Christians are being persecuted right now. It would not surprise me if someone right now, this very moment, somewhere on this earth, is right now being persecuted for their faith in Christ. It's especially harsh over in Africa, in the Asian areas, and in Muslim countries. They're jailing people, they're killing people, they're maiming them, they're destroying. Just recently, the largest church in China was bulldozed because they would not succumb to the rules of the Soviet government there, of the communist government there. And so it's happening everywhere. And we do not need to be lax in our guard, because it could easily happen here. And if you're paying attention to the news stories, things are turning quickly against the truths of Scripture. And it won't be long, probably, before we're considered hate mongers. Not just by certain people like they do now, but by most people. And our laws follow. We're in a nation whose laws are governed by the will of the people. And the will of the people is quickly being swayed against the truths of Scripture. And it's a sad fact. And we must proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ no matter what we face. Look back at verses 5 and 7. We have lessons that we can learn from the past. It says, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So we have an example from lessons in the past. Christ has given us plenty of examples through His Word. We can see from God's word those who have been deceived and destroyed because of false teaching. First here, we see that those who were led from Egypt, who did not believe, were destroyed. The second lesson is that the disobedient angels were also destroyed. In lesson three, Sodom and Gomorrah suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. So we see here from these lessons that destruction comes to those who don't follow the truth. And so we must be on guard to follow the truth to avoid destruction. Following false teaching will destroy our witness and produce false converts. And I don't want to be guilty of producing a false convert, someone who believes they're saved and they're not. Who one day they will stand in their sin and they will be judged for their sin. I'm sorry? We do not want to produce false converts, people who believe that they are saved and they are not. There's some people who may think they know Christ, but their life proves otherwise. They may proclaim Christ and say, I believe in Jesus, but if their life does not show the truth, when you believe in Christ, it is a life-changing event, and your life will eventually, over time, produce plenty of fruit to prove it. And so we too, if we're not careful, can fall to false teaching just as those who came out of Egypt. Think of the evidence they had. They saw the great miracles of God as He laid down 10 plagues on Egypt, as He protected them with a wall of fire, as they crossed through a sea that was divided in half and the ground dried up. Who went out into the wilderness and was fed by God from manna on high. When they didn't like that, He gave them birds to eat. When they were thirsty, a rock split and gushed out water for them to drink. When they didn't know what direction to go, He gave them a fire by night and a cloud by day. He descended upon a mountain and gave him His law. And yet they didn't believe. If that can happen to them, we must be careful that we don't slip and let it happen to us. We need to look to God's word for discernment to help understand the truth and see the truth. Let's look at verses 8 through 11. It says, yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they say. Like unreasoning animals, understanding instinctively. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain and abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. So we see that God's word not only provides the truth, but also the signs of a false teacher. We can compare their teaching and actions to God's word. In verse 8, we see that false teachers are dreamers. They deny the Lord and live in the unreal world of deception. They're just dreamers. They reject authority. They prefer error to truth and reject those who teach truth. We see in verses 9 through 10 that Michael left judgment to God. These people, they will slander anyone and everyone. They won't leave judgment to God, but they will slander. They speak evil. Verse 10 shows they speak evil. They don't know the Lord or His salvation, but they readily know their lusts and their desires. Verse 11, they're like Cain. They are full of pride and self-righteousness with no faith in the Lord. Verse 11, they're like Balaam. They are full of ungodly greed. Verse 11, they're like Korah. They rebel against God's established authority. Verse 16, here we go. They grumble and complain. They find fault and complain about things they shouldn't. They complain of true doctrine instead of seeking it. Verse 16, they seek after their own desires and lusts. Verse 16, well, we didn't read verse 16. Let's go to that. Verse 16 through 19. It says, these are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. And so we see they grumble and complain. They seek after their own desires and lusts. They talk loud. They want to be seen and heard. They put on a show. They flatter to get ahead. This reminds me, false teachers are a lot like a tree that's full of beautiful leaves. And they shake the leaves all they can, hoping you don't see the fact that they have no fruit. All their leaves do is hide the fact they are absolutely fruitless and not worth anything. Not worth anything but to be chopped down and thrown into the fire. All right? So don't be a tree without fruit, shaking your leaves just to get attention. That's what a false teacher does. They are mockers. To gain credibility, they will tear down godly leaders. Verse 19, they don't have the Spirit. What is that saying? They are not saved. False teachers are merely worldly people. That's all they are. Just worldly people. So what do we do with this? What do we do with these examples, with this understanding, this knowing of what false teachers are? If you notice here, the root sins that lead to a false teacher's actions are the same as any sinner. They're the same thing. So we must guard against that. We must look to the fruit of those people. We must look to see who's preaching, what they are teaching, and how they are teaching it. We must preach the true gospel to unbelievers. Beware the false teachers. We have plenty of evidence here of what they are and who they are. False teachers, they will face the wrath of God. Let's look at verse 12 through 15. Let's see what their end will be. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, and they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. So God's wrath will one day fall on false teachers just as any other sinner, because that's all they really are. The truth of God's word is the only way to escape. It's the only way to escape God's wrath and to escape false teaching. Jesus has taken our punishment. I've talked about this morning. He's taken our punishment, and we must hold fast our faith in Jesus Christ and not be swayed away. We must hold fast our faith in Christ's salvation and warn the lost of their pending destruction. That is our duty as Christians. God left us here for that purpose. He left us here to use us as tools to spread the gospel of Christ to others. We see that these false teachers, they are like clouds without water and trees without fruit. They're worthless, not good for anything. They give a hope of something, but they never provide. How many times have you looked and seen the clouds hoping that it was bringing rain, and they just swept on by? And that's what false teachers do. They promise, they never provide. Only Jesus and His truth can truly provide what you need in this life. They're like frothing seas. They talk a good talk, but it amounts to nothing. They're like wandering stars. They destroy saints in one place, and they go on and wander to the next place to do it again. And they will end up in darkness forever as their judgment. Their punishment is certain. That's what they will receive. We must be careful and avoid it. We must stand fast and not be swayed by them. So what should we do? This sounds really bad. It sounds pretty bad. The false teachers, what they do, they have many tactics. They will come in unannounced. They will seek to persuade you and pull you aside without you noticing. What should we do? Verses 20 through 25. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." So how do we combat this foe, these false teachers that may come in? We avoid it and we grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. You must know the truth so that you can avoid falsehood. And then you must put all your faith in Christ and grow in that. The sinner must repent of their sins and trust in Christ. And the congregation must hold one another up and help one another along. We must care for one another. Verse 22 tells us to care, have mercy on those who doubt. We must care for those who doubt. We must care for one another. Use discernment to determine the actions that are necessary. Some need tender care. Others need drastic measures, but we must care for one another. What's more loving? If a parent has a child who runs into the street and a car is coming about to hit them, is it more loving to say, "Please come out of the street. I love you so much. I don't want you to get hit by the car. Would you please come out of the street?" Or is it more loving to run out, whether they want you to or not, and grab them and throw them out from in front of the car? It's more loving to do that, whether they want you to or not. And so we should do that. It's more loving for us to offend with the gospel than to not offend by being silent. It's more loving to tell someone that they're just like you, that they're just like me, that they are a sinner in need of God's grace and forgiveness, and that He's the only way to be saved, than to not want to offend. If they get mad, it's only because of their own sin. It's only because the truth hurts. We must not be skittish to tell people how to avoid sin. We ourselves must be wary of sin and avoid it. And God can keep you from stumbling over the false teacher's doctrine. So, what is Jude saying? Jude is saying that we must defend our faith. We must avoid false teaching and defend our faith and speak the truth. This can be done by admitting that false teachers are out there, by learning from the lessons of the past, by looking to God's word for discernment, and by being sure of the wrath to come, and by seeking God for our help. And we can't sit idly by while multitudes are being carried away by false doctrine. We must care enough to do something. Our willingness to stand firm on the sure foundation of God's truth will affirm the truth that lies within us, and any lack of concern points to our lack of truth. And that's the message of Jude. It's defending the faith. If you'd stand with me. Brother Ron, would you please dismiss us in prayer?